Okay, so until now, we've really talked about the main items, the main cooking items, so to say, when it comes to Bishul Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. So we covered what or how to avoid actually cooking, right? The Yisurim involved with that which you can do, that which you can't do. We also talked about hastening cooking, right? Kiruv Bishul and enabling the cooking process. And again, that's all on the Deoraisa level. That's on the biblical level of something we have to avoid on Shabbos. Then we spent a little time on the derabanans, meaning what the rabbis were very sensitive to, what we might come to do, and they were very sensitive to human nature, that we might be very bothered or upset by something that's not actually becoming heated properly, and so we might come to cook. Another way to also phrase it is that when it comes to these derabanans, when it comes to these rabbinic enactments, these gzeros, so it's not just to focus on human psychology of what the chazal, what the rabbis knew that a person might do, but it's also an awareness of how special Shabbos is and how important Shabbos is, and that they knew, they were sensitive towards that. And so if there was any worry that we might come to do cooking on Shabbos, so they set up many fences, right? If a person understands how integral something is to your life, and if you understand how valuable it is, so then you'll have many fences to protect it. You'll have many ways to avoid tripping or falling or coming to break the item or anything of the sort. So when it comes to Shabbos, if we just had a sensitivity towards how important Shabbos is, how chashuv it is, how much Hashem cares about it, so then we'd understand a little bit more that the rabbis were speaking to that chashivas, to that importance, and trying to put many barriers to avoid us to coming to violate it. So that just speaks to that aspect of Shabbos. And now basically we finished the actual cooking, we finished the actual derabanans of trying to avoid cooking. And now I want to spend a little bit of time, because a few questions were raised last week. I think Yehuda asked a few questions about grumma, about causation. How do you deal with causation on Shabbos? How do we deal with grumma on Shabbos? So Mirtz Hashem, tonight what we're going to be doing, we're not in its totality going to be talking about grumma and causation on Shabbos, but really we're going to talk about setting things up before Shabbos so that they occur on Shabbos, right? And this happens, this happens with many different things. Someone asked me, could they set their dryer, right? They finished a load, they finished washing clothes, and it was right before Shabbos, so they wanted to know, could they put in the clothes into the dryer and turn it on, but then the dryer is going to be on going into Shabbos. They're not going to use the clothes, they're not going to open it up, but they set the dryer and the dryer is working on Shabbos, right? Can you do that? It comes up with setting timers for lights. Obviously, it's something most of us do. It comes up with setting timers for hot plates. Some people are very uncomfortable, very worried about keeping their hot plate on for all 24 hours or plus of Shabbos, certainly when it comes to yontivs and the like. So can you put these hot plates, right? Can you put platas on a timer? Most close to home for us coffee drinkers is a machine. Can you put a coffee machine on a timer such that it goes off Shabbos morning and there you go, fresh coffee, right? So that's, timers come up plenty when it comes to Shabbos. And the real question that we're going to have to address is, why is it okay? How is it okay? And in what cases is it okay, right? So that's basically what we're going to be talking about here. There might be one more shir, but between this and next week, we're going to round out our first malacha of Bishul. So let's see our first two questions. So number one, why is it okay to use timers to set lights and hot plates for Shabbos when it's ultimately my action that allows them to work on Shabbos, right? I set a timer, or I do something before Shabbos that sets things into motion, and now it's going to happen on Shabbos. So why is that okay? I did it, right? So wouldn't you say that whatever's happening on Shabbos is my action now? So I'm violating Shabbos. I set something into motion, no? So why is it okay? So what do you think? So really, we don't have Yehuda here, who is really strong against this, right? Yehuda last week was felt very strongly that this might be a problem. So, well, I don't know.
Question. Are there some who will not use timers?
There are certainly some who will not use timers. Yes, as we'll see.
So
definitely.
Question.
Yeah.
So, you know, that depends on how far you draw this line of causation, because it's really the same thing that we were talking about opening your front door or opening your refrigerator or opening your oven.
Okay.
any one of those things can cause something to go on or off.
Well, that's a degree of difference. I mean, that's a causation. If I just flip on a light before Shabbos, that light is now on Shabbos because of me.
Right. Yeah.
I put it on.
But so, well, the Karaites, you know, lived in darkness on Shabbos. They ate cold food.
Okay, good. We don't.
We don't. So why is there the difference?
You can't ask me the question that I'm asking you.
No, I'm trying to turn it back on you.
Okay, good. Emirat Hashem, Emirat Hashem will answer.
I'm working with the Jewish method here.
Right, there we go. Right, that's the answer a question with a question. That's the Jewish way. All right, Emirat Hashem, we'll get to it. Fine. Number two, I love coffee, but good coffee. I mean that personally. Can I put my coffee machine on a timer to turn on Shabbos morning to have a fresh cup of coffee? Right, there's instant coffee. So, I can't drink it. I just can't drink the instant.
What's the difference between one and two?
What's the difference? Okay, so we'll have to see.
Two is just a more narrow version of number one.
It is true. So we're going to have to see if there are differences. I suppose in number one, I was thinking that you turn it on right before Shabbos and it goes. Whereas the truth is this would be true with any timer. But the coffee machine, maybe there are differences. The truth is the coffee machine starts cooking on Shabbos, meaning it's not going to go off till the morning and then it starts cooking. So do we view that as an extension?
But if you have a hot plate that you set to go on at 7 o'clock Shabbos morning.
Right, no.
So is there
a difference between the two? Well, we're also going to have to understand that. Is there a difference?
Yeah, might be not.
Right. What's the difference between them? Right. So I see some no's, though, as far as actually setting the coffee machine. Something about that sounds off. Is that's the problem?
I was always told that you can't.
Okay. So, okay, good. So anyone listening to the recording, don't stop here because hopefully Simi is correct. okay, Emirat Hashem, we will now see, we'll talk about, and we'll understand what it means to have a timer and how that might be connected back to you or how it is connected back to you. So let's just start with the Pasuk in the Torah. The Torah tells us in Source 1, V'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbos la'Hashem Elokecha. Right, so the seventh day of the week is Shabbos for Hashem. Right, you're not supposed to do any work. Not you, not your son, not your daughter, not any of your servants, not any of the people who work for you. Vigercha, and not a stranger, asher bishorecha, who's within your cities. No one can do work. Right, and by the way, we extend it ubehemtecha, and even your animals are not allowed to do work. There's such a thing called shvisas behema, that your animals are not allowed to do work on Shabbos. And where does that come from? The Pasuk. The Pasuk says it straight. You're not allowed to do work, not you, not anyone in your family, not anyone in your household, and not even your animals. Now, not in this Pasuk.
And not even a Shabbos guy.
Not even, okay, so we have to know, yes, it is true as far as there is an extra, there's the extra precaution of the derabbanan of Amir Lenachri, of not telling a non-Jew to do it. Gercha might be an extension to a quasi a convert or someone who's living in Eretz Yisrael who follows certain laws. But the main point here is that we do see there's an extension from you even to your animals. Now, what's not in this pasuk? Not your kalim, meaning your vessels, none of your items, so to say. Meaning the Torah doesn't tell us you have to rest, your animal has to rest, your house has to rest, and by the way, all the things you own have to rest. The Pasuk doesn't tell us that. It just says the animals. So now we can wonder, where does that extend to? So the Gemara in Source 2 tells us. So let's learn the Gemara. And Emirat Hashem, we'll learn the basic sources, and then we'll be able to talk it outside. We just have to educate ourselves a little bit just to understand the background here. So in Source 2, there's a machlokas, there's a discussion and a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In Source 2, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omrim, in Shorin Dayo, Visimanim, Vikarshinim, El Kedei Shiyishru Miba'odyom. So Beis Shammai says, if you're trying to dye something or dye plants or create dyes or soften food, whatever it is, so the entire process has to be completed before Shabbos. You cannot have a process that you began before Shabbos go into Shabbos. So take it into modern day idea, meaning my food would have to be fully cooked before it goes into Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai. I couldn't have this quasi-cooking, right? Not because of the derabbanan, the rabbinical decrees that we talked about, but on a deraisa level, Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to start a process that then goes into Shabbos. The process of doing something that would be forbidden on Shabbos has to end before Shabbos. Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says, no, that's okay. It can keep going. As long as you set it up before Shabbos and it goes on its own, no problem. Beis Shammai says, again, Einosnin onin shel pishtan l'seichat tanor el kadesh yavhilu mi ba'od yom, and you're not allowed to put flax into the oven so it heats unless it's going to finish during the day. Right? El kadesh yiklot ha'ayin, unless it's actually going to finish the process of the cooking and the heating during the day. And Beis Hillel says it's permissible. And again, you're not allowed to lay traps, says Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to lay traps that you're doing the laying before Shabbos, but it might actually happen on Shabbos. So Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to start a process that extends into Shabbos. And again, Beis Hillel says it's okay. So from here we learn there's a discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai basically says, the Pasuk tells us you're not allowed to work, no one from your family can work, no one within your household can work, your animals can't work. And says Beis Shammai, and by the way, your items can't work. You start a process before Shabbos, your items need to stop that process before Shabbos hits. That's called Shvisas Kalim, right? That's the idea, thank you. That's the idea of your kalim, your vessels, your workwear. Well, what's the better word? Not vessels. We've already vessels is like an old day word. Your earthenware, you know, your cookware, whatever. Your items need to be stopped before Shabbos. So that's called Shvisas Kalim. That's called the idea of your items not working either, right? So if I start a process before Shabbos, it has to end before Shabbos. That's what Beis Shammai says. So Beis Shammai extends that and understands that the Pasuk includes such a concept. Your animals can't work, your items can't work, you can't work. And Beis Hillel turns to Beis Shammai and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. If you start the process before Shabbos and the process continues into Shabbos, that's fine. You're not doing the action on Shabbos. The Torah tells you, you have to rest, your household has to rest, everyone has to rest, your animals have to rest. You're not allowed to work your animals on Shabbos, but your any process as far as your items, that which you own, that continues into Shabbos, as long as you set it up beforehand and it happens on its own, that's fine. Meaning, Beis Hillel does not have a concept of Shvisas Kalim. Beis Hillel does not have a concept of your items, that which you own, resting. Right? That is the machlokas. That's the discussion between them. And now we're going to have to understand, why should it be that Beis Hillel process, his thought process is correct? Yes?
It occurs to me that what Beis Shammai is talking about is what you might call industrial processes.
Okay.
For something other than, you know, producing food for Shabbos. And that maybe he would take a different position if you were started cooking something for Shabbos and it continued on after.
So I didn't bring the furthering of the Mishnah nor another source. But even when it comes to cooking something, Beis Hillel, as we've seen before, says even that's okay as long as the process can continue. The only reason why he says it's a concern is because you might come to cook. But inherently, he's not bothered with the process continuing.
I was thinking that Beis Shammai might say, well, if it involves food, we might permit it anyway.
Oh, my agree. So no, so the entire discussion hinges on this about, are you allowed to start something that continues into Shabbos? And Beis Shammai said no. I didn't include the latter half just because we've talked about the latter half before, which is the food half. But they're consistent even through there. Now it happens to be for an ancillary reason, Beis Hillel agrees, well, you're not allowed to continue the process of cooking into Shabbos without certain safeguards because you might come to turn up the heat and stoke the coals and the like. But on a fundamental level, they disagree. Beis Hillel thinks, Your everything, your industrial processes, or your cooking, or your home, whatever it is, can continue into Shabbos. Yes.
Would something like a bone broth, if it takes 48 or 72 hours to cook, if that goes through Shabbos, is that allowed?
According to Beis Hillel. So we'll see halacha lemaisa. We'll see practically.
Is it carrying on Shabbos for after Shabbos?
No, because you started before Shabbos. Everything we're talking about here is you started something before Shabbos. If you start before Shabbos, Beis Hillel says, so it's not, it's It happens on its own, right? You set up a process, and that process goes on without you, right? And Beis Shammai says, well, that can't happen. Shvi says, Kalim, even the items that you own must rest. You cannot have these processes going through Shabbos. Now, why should that be true? Now, Beis Shammai, in a certain sense, makes a lot of sense, because he's saying, you started it, you own it, that's your action going forth, and that's a problem. There's a line in Bava Kamma I've included over here, and we hold by this in many cases in Halacha, that Rabbi Yochanan says, Isho Mishum Chitzo, that a person's fire is like his arrow, meaning, take the case that a person has a fire and they light a fire and then it burns a nice line and ends up destroying someone's property. Now, shouldn't I be able to say, well, I just lit the fire. The fact that the fire went all the way there, well, that's not my problem. Meaning, I lit this an hour ago and it burned down your house now, an hour later. That's not my action. And Rabbi Yochanan says, of course that's your action. You started this. You lit a fire, which now caused damage. And of course, there are all these different factors. Was there a retainer wall and all these other things? But just on the baseline, on the base idea, we can understand that when you do something and cause a damage, so it's akin to drawing an arrow, shooting that arrow, and chas v'shalom killing someone or damaging something. That is your action. You'll tell me, well, was it really my action? I shot an arrow. And there was a gap in time before it hit someone. And anyway, when I shot it, I wasn't holding it. It's not like I took an axe and damaged your property. I shot an arrow. That arrow is not me. The arrow is its own entity. It's gone. It's not in my hands. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you shot it. You started the process. It's on you. And we hold that way when it comes to damages. Obviously, there are all these different circumstances in which it applies and the like, not getting into that. But we hold that it applies both in damages and when it comes to killing. So let's apply that to Shabbos for a second. And if I start a process before Shabbos, so that's my action continuing on. That's my action perpetuating. So says Beis Shammai, you can't start something before Shabbos and have it perpetuate into Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says, yeah, no problem, you can. So how does that work for Beis Hillel? And by the way, Beis Hillel and everyone agrees when it comes to damages, when it comes to killing, when it comes to all those other worlds of monetary issues, he agrees to this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that, meaning presumably he would agree that your arrow is like you. You shoot the arrow. Don't tell me that wasn't you, right? It's as if you did it with your own hands. So what does Beis Hillel say to that? So it's not my question. It is a question, one of those famous questions. By the way, they always say, you know, it's a famous question. It's only famous because you know it. So I remember going when I was first learning in yeshiva. So everyone would say, oh, it's a famous this, it's a famous that. I'm like, I have no clue what they're talking about. Rav Moshe Weinberger in New York and Ish Kodesh, so my in-laws daven in his shul. So one of the things that he always, in his drushos or whatever, so he goes like this, everybody knows, and he goes and says it. And my wife's always thinking, no, I don't, not everybody knows. So it's a matter of who knows, fine. This is a famous question that we're asking of, I don't understand, if you start the process, so it goes, it's yours. So it's a famous question of the Nemuki Yosef, and it's actually on the back page over here. And the Nemuki Yosef asks as follows. Hechi Sharinan, on the top of page 2, on side 2. Im chashecha lahadlik esaneros v'hadlakasa holechas v'nigmeres b'Shabbos. Let me ask you a question. You light Shabbos candles, right? Everyone light Shabbos candles. Okay. So if I light Shabbos candles, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, if I light a fire, the ongoing fire, the ongoing process is me. Okay, so I lit right before Shabbos. Now Shabbos hits. Lefiza, according to that logic, which we hold of, harehu ki'ilu hevira hu ba'asmo Shabbos. So it's as if you lit on Shabbos. You lit before Shabbos, and every second that flame is burning the wick and burning the oil, it's your action being perpetuated. So it's you having caused fire to burn and you burning on Shabbos. The kol shekein hu, and all the more so, if in the case where you light the fire and it ends up burning down your friend's field or his house, and you had no intention to burn that, you just wanted a nice little campfire, and you had no intention of burning down his house, and yet we say that's like your action. So, the hacha, iker kavanaso hi shetidlak v'telech v'shabbos. Your whole intention is that it be lit going into Shabbos. Shabbos candles, you intend for them to be lit going into Shabbos. And back in the olden days, when they didn't have lights, when they would light the lights, they intended for it to be lit going into Shabbos. So how is this not a perpetuation of your action? Which means every second that's happening, it's as if you're doing it. The same way that if I shoot an arrow, ultimately every damage that happens is as if I'm doing it. Right? You hear the question? That is a big problem. So what do we do with that? Right? Every single sign. I turn on a light, electricity, before Shabbos. Great. Every single second later that on Shabbos, it's as if I'm causing the electricity to happen. That means everything that we set up before Shabbos ultimately becomes a problem. So what do we do about that? Right? Now that's the question.
Get Elvis Presley to come in and do it. He was a Shabbos guy, you know.
Oh, he's a Shabbos guy? Oh, yeah. Okay. So... good. So there you go. Yeah, Elvis Presley. Have a Shabbos going, not just on Shabbos, but before Shabbos, you set everything else up, right? L'chor, that's not the answer. So what do we do? Right. Okay. So says the Nemuki Yosef, right after the question mark, Ki na'ayam b'milsa shapir le'kashalan. If we think about this just a little bit better, and we delve into it, you realize it's not actually a question. By the way, there's two ways to answer a question. Sometimes you answer a question, well, three ways, I suppose. Sometimes you answer a question with a question. Okay, that's the Jewish way. Sometimes you answer a question with the answer. And that shows that the question was a question, right? But you just have an answer. And then sometimes, and this is the Brisker methodology, sometimes you show them how you never even had a question to start, right? And meaning you basically say, well, your question wasn't even a question. Okay, so over here he's saying, a different mentality, I mean, a different way to learn, right? There's always different ways. So he says, our question is not a question. Hey, David. He says, Sharei chiyuvo mishum chitzo kezori kachetz. The reason why when I throw a rock, the reason why when I shoot an arrow, the reason why when I light a fire, and then ultimately, however long later, it destroys something, it damages something, it hurts someone, the reason why we say that's your action is shibishaa shiyatza achetz mitachas yado ba'usashaa nasa akol. We view the minute it leaves your hand as if the action is completed. Meaning, the minute it leaves your hand, so we draw a line, whatever's happening now, we draw a line back to you and say, the minute you did this, from here on out, it's as if you did it right now. We say the action, the moment of letting go, the moment of lighting that fire, everything goes back to that critical moment. Because that's when it all started. So we draw a line back to you, but at what moment? The critical moment of when you actually started that issue, when you let go of the arrow, when you lit the fire. Back to you in a physical sense of if you damage something, or you hurt someone, or anything within the monetary realm, or damages. But the critical moment is the moment it starts. So if I do something on Erev Shabbos, so we basically say everything follows that moment. And if at that moment it was a permissible action, so then everything that follows is technically permissible. You are doing nothing wrong. If when I shot an arrow, so I don't care about time as far as Shabbos or not, I just care about the moment you shot it, it's now the critical moment, and therefore we tie it back to you. That's not a time issue, that's really a place issue. And we always say it goes back to you, that single moment. So just like, so too when it comes to Erev Shabbos, we say it's you.
The question of causation and whether you fired an arrow or turned on your oven, it's causing something.
So this, I want to divorce these two issues. This is not, now they overlap, but this is not what a person calls causation. This, now causation is perhaps if I throw something up and it comes straight back down. Let's for an example. Right there, I did nothing to actually throw it towards someone. Gravity did everything. So if this lands on something and damages it, you could call that maybe causation. Or there are other examples of where I throw something and technically there was a wall there and all of a sudden the wall disappears and it hits something. You could call these acts of causation.
If you throw a ball over the wall.
Now that's your fault. Because it was your arc, your force caused it that way. It wasn't pure gravity. What I'm trying to highlight here is that this is not causation. When I shoot this straight, that's a pure act that's tied back to me. Causation is when there's degrees removed, right? When there's not degrees removed as far as the time and the this and the that, it's there are other factors. And in Emirat Hashem, we can talk a little bit more about certain causation. One idea of causation could be what we talk about if there's a fire. If there's a fire going on Shabbos, the Gemara on Shabbos says you can fill a bunch of jugs with water and make a wall. And then when the fire gets to it, it'll break those jugs and the water will put out the fire. Yes, you did something, but it's not a direct action that you're doing. That's something that we would call grama. That's causation. Here, what we're saying is you did an act, and the question should be, is the subsequent following through yours or not? And in this case, it is, but the point is it was done at a permissible time. So since I lit the fire before Shabbos, it was done at a permissible time. So anything after that, fine, you can say I caused that to happen.
So if I light a candle and I put it in water,
yes,
and it burns down to the water level, the water's going to put out the light.
Yes.
Is that all right?
So if before, it's funny. So on a Deoraisa level, on a biblical level, yes. There's a reason not to do that, and because if you set something up like that, that you care for it to go out, you might actually put it out more readily going into Shabbos. It's a Gemara that Tzitz Eliezer talks about it. Again, but that's more similar like cooking, right? We talked about when you set up the food to go into Shabbos cooking. Technically, that's okay, but there are other precautions we take because now that you care about the heat, you might come to turn it up. So your example on yes, the answer is yes, it's okay, but then there are ancillary issues and precautions we take. But the answer, the approach over here ultimately is that what we're trying to say is when the action happened before Shabbos, so that's the critical moment. And anything that happens after that is tied back to that first critical moment. There are those that say, I think there's we won't go into the source exactly why, or exactly where they learn it from, but they say, if you do something before Shabbos, like let's say a timer or the like, and then the entire action happens on Shabbos, so maybe our whole reasoning falls apart. The whole reasoning over here is that the critical moment was the moment that you did it in a permissible way before Shabbos. But that's because it started before Shabbos and goes into Shabbos. But the critical moment was before Shabbos. If I set a timer, so when's the critical moment of action?
You know, like your coffee pot.
What, like the coffee pot, good. So everything's happening on Shabbos now. So it's not that the critical moment was before Shabbos. Everything is on Shabbos. So there are those who, for one of the reasons, there would be those who say that a timer shouldn't be okay. They would say, fine when you light the fire before Shabbos. The critical moment was before Shabbos. But when you set a timer to then have something happen on Shabbos, the entire malacha, the entire, you know, forbidden act is happening on Shabbos. There was no moment that happened before Shabbos. So for that reason, maybe they would say, this doesn't apply and it's a problem. There are reasons not to say this because you could just say, well, no, the critical act was setting the timer. That was my action. Okay, good. So I'm saying this is the argument that they go back and forth with.
I'm sorry.
No, please.
I have this klutz kasher that's been going around in my head since we started here tonight. And it's not going to happen in my lifetime, but probably okay. In your lifetime. If we get to the point where we have personal robots.
It's not klutz kasha because it very much, I want to circle back to that. I want to circle back to your question, which essentially is when we get to the point that we have all these robots and everything and it's all happening on Shabbos, right? And it's all automated. So, you know, what's the problem with all this on Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Meaning right now we're saying no, but in 10 years, 20 years, will we be saying yes? Okay, good.
That's the question.
Good. So Emirat Hashem, at the end when we get, we'll talk about this a little. It relates to a Rav Moshe. Okay. So where we stand now is essentially that if the critical moment is before Shabbos, so technically that should be okay. If the critical moment is before Shabbos, we tie everything after that to that moment before Shabbos. And even though it's the extended action, well, it's an extended action of a permitted action, right? That's essentially what we say. Yes, it was your action, but it was your permitted action when you did it before Shabbos. And if it happens on Shabbos, well, it all stems back to that critical moment before Shabbos. So that's why when you light Shabbos candles, oh, they're lit on Shabbos. Oh, come on, that's your action. It's as if you're lighting on Shabbos. No, it's not, because you lit in a permissible way. So it's an action that stems from a permissible action going through Shabbos, and that's fine. So the similar thing you would say by timers. When I start something before Shabbos, when I put a process into motion, and this is what Beis Hillel was also saying, when you start something before Shabbos and you're done, hands off, nothing, so then everything that happens after that is just the process finishing. And that's not you anymore, and we don't have a command of Shvisas Kalim. You don't have to let your vessels or your industries, well, you can't work on Shabbos, but you don't have to let your vessels or the like. Come on, there has to be a better word than vessels. I seriously, I'm like the biblical, you know, King James Bible like language here. Your objects, your items, something like that. Those don't have to rest. Okay. So that is essentially why a lot of people would say timers are okay. There's a reason. Now, there is a Rav Moshe, but let's see one more source. Okay. In source 6, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that aval ein nosen chitin l'soch harechayim shomayim el pekidei shiitchenu mi ba'od yom. Beis Hillel agrees that you're not allowed to put wheat kernels into the mill before Shabbos, even though normally he said it's okay to start a process before Shabbos. Beis Hillel agrees you're not allowed to start that process before Shabbos. Why? So a rabbi says because it makes a noise. So I don't understand. If you start the process before Shabbos, it's perfectly okay. So Rashi explains it's a zilzal. It's not nice for Shabbos. Zilzal. It's an embarrassment of Shabbos. You start something. You start your electrical appliance before Shabbos. You start your mill before Shabbos. It's true. There was a permitted moment when you did it, and therefore the extension of that is not, you know, it's not you doing something forbidden on Shabbos. But Avshad Demilsa, it's embarrassing. It's not nice. Imagine you just have this very loud racket going on a Shabbos of, you know, your mill in your backyard, whatever it is. It's not nice. There's some work being done on Shabbos, and ultimately, for Ashkenazim, we hold by this. We call this hashmas kol, noise on Shabbos. Noise from appliances, noise from things we own. That's why we get in discussions about certain things being run on Shabbos. Should you have certain appliances being run on Shabbos when they're making a noise? So Rav Moshe was asked about an alarm clock. Let's say I set a timer for an alarm clock, okay? So the timer, fine. The critical moment was before Shabbos. I set it, no problem. Now the alarm is going to go off on Shabbos. Okay, so that's fine. But it's making a noise. So that's the same thing like the mill. I set it before Shabbos. Everything was fine. But all of a sudden, there's noise on Shabbos. Hashmas kol. It's not nice for Shabbos to have electrical appliances going off. So Rav Moshe said, first of all, it's Kavod Shabbos. You got to wake up for davening, right? How else are you going to wake up? Okay. But his real argument is, it's not an embarrassment to Shabbos. First of all, it's a use of trying to get a person up. But second of all, he wants to say Hashmas Kol, the noise, is defined by something that's heard and readily heard, you know, in multiple areas. If it's limited to one room, it's quiet enough. If it's limited to one room, so then it's not a problem. And that comes up, you know, with, for example, a noise machine. Someone wants to put in a noise machine before Shabbos. So first of all, you're doing it before Shabbos. The critical moment is before Shabbos. It's noise. An electrical appliance is going off on Shabbos, throughout Shabbos. No, so first of all, it's really heard in that room only, and it's really to have a nice Shabbos, so your kids actually sleep, so you're not up all night, or maybe you don't hear the kids who are up all night, and you don't have to be, but whichever direction it is, that would be something limited to the room. So, let me just see something.
So who decides what is chashuv and isn't
kosher? I mean, what's loud and not?
Yeah, or what's a noise that's offensive versus one that's not offensive?
So I think the how loud essentially it is it heard everywhere? You know, it used to be dryers. If you put on a dryer, it's heard throughout the house. Nowadays, dryers are pretty quiet. It happens to be in my house. I can really hear it upstairs. So to have a dryer going off all, you know, for the next 2 hours on Shabbat, that's a long time for a dryer.
What if somebody puts the radio on a timer because he wants to hear the Metropolitan Opera?
So that's called Hashmas Kol. That's noise. That's an electrical appliance on Shabbos.
Yeah, but one man's, you know.
No, so the idea is electrical appliances in general. Oh, so you're going to say the radio is quiet.
But they didn't know anything about electrical appliances then.
Well, their example was a mill.
Okay.
So we're just extending that to things working on Shabbos inappropriately. So not because an item can't work on Shabbos, but But because you're not supposed to have noise that doesn't relate to Shabbos, right? Radio, for many reasons, for many, many reasons, does not relate to Shabbos. And we can't go into that now. At Meretz Hashem, we can have a shiur of all the news and politics and all this on Shabbos. Also not for the Shabbos table, but well, if you really enjoy it, we can talk. But okay.
You did not want to say that.
What the real answer is no. It's not Shabbos table talk, that's for sure. It's not Shabbos talk. But anyway, the important thing here is setting it up beforehand going in. Now, let's apply that back to some of our before that. So now Rav Moshe, when it came to timers, didn't like timers. And that's to say, Rav Moshe basically said no to timers. Why? So Rav Moshe, it's a pella. It's really astonishing. It's hard. Now, I say it's hard to understand. I do not have the shoulders to say it's hard to understand Rav Moshe. Many people had a hard time understanding Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe's main argument, he had three arguments. One was that it's almost like telling a non-Jew to do something. It's akin to that. You're setting something up, so then it goes off on Shabbos. You're using this like, you know, your Shabbos goy. Okay, he says we can't make up our own, you know, rules. We can't make up new decrees like that. So he says it's a concern. The second one is Zilusa. It's embarrassing to Shabbos. Can it really? It's not Shabbos take. That's the way. It's not Shabbos take. We're going to automate everything, so a person has everything going on and off in their house, and it's going to be like the normal weekday. That's not Shabbos day, right? And the other example was, his other argument was that you can't set something where the entire process happens on Shabbos alone, right? We said before, if you start the process before Shabbos, the critical moment was before Shabbos, and then going in, it's fine. But if the critical moment, well, everything, the entire malacha, the entire that which is forbidden to do happens on Shabbos itself, and not before at all, so maybe there's reason, and there's a source in Yerushalmi, which we're not going to talk about now, but maybe there's reason to say that that doesn't apply to what we were saying is okay, right? Because the critical moment is not really before Shabbos. It's all happening on Shabbos now. So those were the arguments of Rav Moshe. Ultimately, Rav Moshe, therefore, was against timers. He said, well, everyone's using it for lights, and how else are we going to see? So it's fine. We can use timers for lights, but he cut it there. Most poskim do not hold to this. Nowadays, we use timers for things. We do. Against Rav Moshe, and like most of the other, or the common day, modern day halachas, like poskim, we follow. We use timers. So what are the hagdars? Meaning, what are the degrees in which we use them, and when? Yes. Okay. All right. So I guess we'll see. So let's just go back to answer one. We'll use that as our platform here. Why is it okay to use timers to set lights and hot plates for Shabbos when it's my action that ultimately allows them to work on Shabbos? So the simple answer is, based on what we said, the critical moment that you did it was before Shabbos, and that was permissible when you did it. So the fact that it all happens on Shabbos, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. So that's why I can set lights for timers for lights and hot plates and similar things that are a direct use and purpose for Shabbos. To have hot food, I don't want to be a Karaite, right? You want hot food on Shabbos. I don't want to be Karaite. I want lights on Shabbos. So to set those would be okay. And I think that's generally what we do. For other things, though, so no. What are other things? Well, let's talk about the coffee pot, right? Question two. Can I set a timer for a coffee pot to go off in the morning? Now, besides for the fact that Rav Moshe would call that it's not Shabbos day, right? So Rav Moshe would call that not Shabbos day. Now, I want to tell you, with all intellectual honesty here, that it's not something a person should do on Shabbos. To set coffee for having to go off on Shabbos, I love the coffee smell and everything, but it's not Shabbos day. To have your regular electrical appliances working on Shabbos and you come down to your kitchen like it normally works, that's not how a person has Shabbos, right? And that's what Rav Moshe was so sensitive to. Rav Moshe was ahead of his times, understanding that if we use timers for everything, there goes the entire aura and nature of Shabbos. Now, that being said, is there a reason to say that this should be any different than using timers for a hot plate or for lights? So it's hard to say, it's hard to come out, in all intellectual honesty, it's hard for me to come out and say, for a coffee pot, it's 100% forbidden, it's usher, because it's not. But there are concerns which exists, which therefore make it questionable, or at least make it something pause-worthy. And certainly when you really focus on the fact that that's just not something that a person should be doing on Shabbos, right? Like Rav Moshe. So what's the concern? The concern really is, comes down to a Chazon Ish, which for sake of time, we're not going to read the Chazon Ish inside. But the Chazon Ish, and this goes back to when we were learning about cooking and setting things up before Shabbos and what a person might come to do. The Chazon Ish says as follows. If there's food sitting on a heat source on Shabbos that was placed in an incorrect way, that was placed without halachically being allowed to do so, so then you have to take it off every single second that it's there. You have an obligation to remove it. So much so that if a monkey took your food and put it on a heat source on Shabbos, incorrectly so, against halacha, you would have an obligation every single second to take it off. Because every single second that it's on there, there's a concern that Shemi Echate, you might come to turn up the heat. So if it was incorrectly placed on there, it has to be taken off every single second. Every second that it stays there is a problem, because you might take a Shemi Echate, you'll turn up the heat. Even if a monkey puts it there, he literally says, even if a monkey puts it there, right? So he basically says that if it was incorrectly placed, it's a problem. Now, what that means is the only time it's okay if to leave food on is if it was set up before Shabbos and it's going into Shabbos and it's properly covered, right? All the rules that we talked about. And only then do we say we're not worried you're going to come turn it. Now, a coffee machine, and he was really talking about a case where if you had a hot plate, but let's talk about a hot plate or a coffee machine. Let's say I take a hot plate and before the timer goes on, right, I set it to go off at 12, and I take soup, which I'm not allowed to heat up on Shabbos because it's liquid, and I put soup and I put it on a cold hot plate. An hour later, it's going to turn on. Or, our example, I have the coffee machine ready to go, and the water is there, everything will be there, and come the morning, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., it'll turn on. So the Chazon Ish says, the fact that it's set up, the system is set up to do that, and by the way, you set it up knowing that that would happen, mm-hmm. He said, the moment it turns on, and the moment it starts heating up the soup, the moment it starts heating up the coffee or cooking the coffee, you have an obligation every single second to take it off. Because every single second it's on there, it was incorrectly placed because it happened on Shabbos. So every single second you have to take it off. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to set it up in that way. Again, Shem Yechati, you'll come to turn it up. You'll come to adjust it. And because of that, the Chazon Ish would say, no way can you set something up like this. Now, I present that to give a reason why it would be inappropriate to set up a coffee machine. Again, and to be fair, we don't really accept the Chazon Ish in all the areas of this particular halacha. But it's definitely a concern. And in Rav Willig's words from YU, maybe you'll tell me that I'll get around the Chazon Ish because I don't hold by it. And as long as I cover the buttons, I'm not worried I'm going to come turn it on. My coffee machine, a Mr. Coffee, has one button, on and off. What am I going to do Shabbos morning? What am I going to do? I'm going to turn it up, lower heat, nothing. So seemingly, I set it up before Shabbos. The critical moment is before Shabbos. And now that's happening on Shabbos, if I hold up a timer, it should be okay. Because don't tell me there's a concern I'll come to turn it up. Says Rav Willig, Rabosai, we're dealing with addicts. And who knows what an addict will do? Now, joking, but in all seriousness, if someone really likes their coffee and it all of a sudden it doesn't go off in the morning, what he's essentially saying is, who knows what an addict will do? It's off? Well, might be on in a second. So that's just, while Rav Willig said that perhaps jokingly, there's a certain truth to it. Not being an addict. Listen, I love my coffee. I love my coffee, and chas v'sham, would I do that? But I think the concern is the general idea. One, it's not Shabbos day, and two, the idea of the fact that you have something going on Shabbos, and it happens right then. Every moment might be a concern that you might adjust it or do something with the process. Now, if you're nodding your head because that argument of the Chazon Ish, this argument of the adjusting and all that doesn't sit well. That's what I said. I can't tell you right now, based on that a person can't do it. What I can tell you is it's muskam, it's accepted by everyone that's not something we do. It's not something that we set up before Shabbos. And as we said before, it's appropriate, it's okay to have, blechs and lights and everything on the Shabbos timer. But to all of a sudden be putting our entire house and our kitchen appliances and everything on Shabbos timers, to have them been going off and these and that. So besides for the fact that there are concerns that if things aren't set right, I might actually come to start, you know, fiddling around with them if I'm used to my kitchen working as it works during the week, there's just the fact that, guys, we're dealing with Shabbos. And it's just not something that becomes appropriate. So I think that that's the general approach we take. And by the way, the same thing is to be said for putting a soup on while the black is cold, and then it'll turn on 5 minutes later. You know, you've put the timer, you set it up that way. So again, you set up the system that way. And to do so, besides for the fact that there, for sure, there is more of a concern as far as cooking, it looks like cooking and the adjusting and the like, again, that's also not, that wouldn't be appropriate. But to have it on timers, to be able to use it, you know, as a person would normally, that's perfectly acceptable. Okay, so I think that rounds out the shiur. If anyone has any questions, we can discuss. But thank you. Thanks for hosting again.